Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Dr. Annie B. Wilder coming once again on the Dr. Annie B. Wilder Show. I'm coming to say good morning, good morning, good morning. Yes, another Monday morning. How do you know that? Because that's when Dr. Annie B. Wilder comes to be with you. Yes, on Monday mornings. And I come with a specific purpose of bringing some encouragement. And along with encouragement comes enlightenment and some education, some insight, a whole lot of things that just get wrapped right up into this discussion that when you get off the line, you're saying, oh, I didn't know that. Oh, now I understand that. Oh, I think I'm going to go out and do that. Yes, yes, yes. That's what encouragement is all about, isn't it? Yes, to get us up and going and hope alive within us when it was just waning away. And yes, you say, but I'm okay. I'm not without hope. Well, that is really great. Hopefully that you'll still get something from the broadcast and maybe just add to whatever it is that's echoing in your heart right now, whatever joy and excitement that you already have, the broadcast will help you increase that. Oh, whatever way. But either way, I want you to know that I'm encouraged and I am excited and filled with anticipation every time I look up and see you coming on, that you're listening to the broadcast. So, yes, I'm not going to delay any longer because I know you're waiting to hear me say, oh, I have an exciting topic. Yes. Oh, that's exactly what I'm saying. I have another exciting topic. It doesn't seem exciting on the surface, but when we get into it and you begin to see and recognize maybe some places in you or some places that we can help other people, it'll become really exciting to you. And so what is that topic? Hey, it is unrecognized grief. Yes, I said that. Unrecognized grief. I know you're now excited, right, or anxious to hear the rest of it. And we will in just a minute. And I'm going to be coming from Proverbs 13, verse 12. Only one verse of scripture because we have so much background to come along with it. Yes. So you're right. I hear you said, I need to get my pencil and paper. You're right. You need to get your pencil and your paper, your pen and your pad. Whatever, because you're going to need to make some notes today, okay? And if you can't make notes, then you just go back later and you listen to the broadcast all over again. All right, once again, Dr. Annie B. Wilder saying thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you so much for just being with me these past 2+ years. I got to go back and count. The years are going by so fast. But you've been with me all along the way. And so I just appreciate you so very much. So now you know the routine. Before we go any further, we must have prayer. All right? So excuse me here. My weather just don't seem to break. Won't seem to break here. Yes, yes, yes. All right. What some people are calling just perfect weather, we're still having having to turn our heats on. All right? So let's bow our heads. All right? Oh, God in heaven, Father God in heaven, Most High God, Everlasting Father, we come again because you've been so gracious, so merciful, so kind to allow us, Lord God, another day that we were able to open our eyes, another day we were able to arise, another day, Lord God, that we could humble ourselves under your mighty hands and say, God, we thank you, first of all, and then, hey, use us for whatever you need, Lord, whatever is needed in this land, God, somebody. Use us, Lord God, to come alongside somebody to lift their hearts and encourage them. Father God, we just thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for how you touched our bodies. Thank you for how you made ways when it seemed to be no way. Thank you, Lord, for this radio audience and all that you've done for them. Oh, God, all that you brought them through and all that you're yet bringing them through. And, God, while I'm praying, I come to you on their behalf. and come to you on behalf of the young people all over the land, God, that are suffering so much because so much is being dropped on them, so many things in life, God. They're too young to process, and therefore their hearts are heavy. Oh, God, they're confused so much. So, God, I lift them up in a special way. And then, God, I don't fail to lift up all our men everywhere, men in position, because that's what you told us to do. Pray for men everywhere. So we pray for the government. We pray for the school system. We pray for marriages. Oh, God, I come praying for those that are out there on the road and those in positions, Lord God, that they're living. But, God, we're dependent on them. We depend on them doing what they do. So naturally, God, we're not going to on them, whatever their positions, whatever their jobs, wherever they are, rolling down the highway. Oh, my God. Digging holes on the highway, trying to make it safe, filling potholes, whatever they may be doing. Oh, God, we're not taking it for granted that it all impacts our lives. And so we lift them up. And so, Father God, as I go forth in this broadcast this morning, as you're touching in the hospitals now, that you're giving people to come home, that mother that's been by the bedside of her child or about it, oh, God, in the name of Jesus, that wife that's been by the bedside of her husband and that husband that's been by the bedside of his wife. And it just goes on and on, the relationships. But, God, we are lifting them up. Oh, God, that you bring them out of those comas. You bring them out, God. And then you comfort those that bereave today. Comfort, strengthen. Your word said you would do it. Your word said that you comfort those that mourn. And so, God, we know you are faithful to your word. And so appreciate you for doing it now. And now as I get ready to go forth and bring forth this word that I believe you've dropped in my spirit, God, to deliver it in a manner that you would have me to, I ask that you give your Holy Spirit charge to actually be the one to take over and bring this word forth in Jesus' name. Oh, in Jesus' name. And I say amen and amen and amen. Praise God. Bless the Lord. All right, so as I said, I'm going to read one verse of scripture today, and it is in Old Testament. It's Proverbs, that book of wisdom, the book of wisdom, the book of wisdom, Proverbs, all right? So that, what did I say? Verse, chapter 13, verse 12. You say, did you say that, Dr. Wild? I thought I did, but if I didn't, I'm saying it now. Proverbs, chapter 13, verse 12. And it reads like this from the New King James Version of the Bible. It says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. Let me read it again. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. All right. All right, some say, I've never heard that before. Well, hey, now you have, all right? All right, so here we are this morning, once again, moving right on down the year, through the year. It's actually our last Monday of April, March, January, February, March, April. Oh, that fourth month of the year, we're moving right on through it. So this is our last Monday of this month. And so as we come today and I bring you this topic entitled Unrecognized Grief, we see here that as we read in the scripture, we read in that scripture, it says, what makes the heart? But what happens? We read the scripture. Let me do it again, okay? Deferred hope makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. So when we look at deferred and we look at that word defer, right away it means to put off to a later time or to be postponed, right? We all know that we've had those situations in our lives, all right? But what happens to the heart when what is hoped for, dreamed of, planned, expected, just does not come to pass? Not at all. The scripture verse says, the scripture verse says, but when a longing is fulfilled, it's a tree of life, meaning there's excitement, there's joy. Oh, it's so great to be fulfilled, you know, what I've hoped for, what I've longed for. So it's been delayed, all right? It's longer coming than I hoped and expected, But, oh, it showed up. It showed up. So I'm so excited. But the question comes, and I repeat, what comes? Because I know you're already there. You're already saying, but what happens, Dr. Wilder, when it never comes to pass? What I hoped for, what I dreamed of, what I planned for such a long time, what I expected, what happens when it just does not come to pass? Yes, all right? And we've experienced that as well, all right? Well, listen, what usually happens is that we have feelings of anguish over a loss. It's a loss that has happened, a lost dream, a lost expectation, a lost hope. You know, it's a loss. It's gone. It's gone. It's not going to come back, all right? So we call that, we realize that grief itself is a feeling of deep anguish over a loss. So that says to us that we can grieve those things. Those things sends us into a state of grief and mourning and grief. That's where it sends us, into a place of deep anguish, oh God, over what didn't come to pass, that thing that did not happen, all right? So I know many of us, we know, I can't say many of us, I'll say all of us, our whole nation is experiencing such right now. Because 2 years ago, okay, suddenly, this COVID thing was just kicked off and everything closed down, and there were dreams, there were plans for marriages, there were all kinds of things, even funerals had to be done differently, our worship had to be done differently, a whole lot, our meeting families, some of it had to be completely postponed. So there were many plans that were in place that were lost, had to be postponed. And many of them, because of dates and timing, could not be resurrected. There was no such thing as this coming back at a later time that it could be fulfilled. No. So right now, our whole nation is grieving in some way or another, some more than others, some much more than others. But everybody, don't let anybody fool you. Everybody, their hearts are hurting, and there have been things that have been lost, okay? So what happens, okay? What happens is, where are we, okay? When we look at that topic, grief, it's a broad subject, and it's difficult to address. It's one of those things that's hard to talk about. Why? It's hard to talk about because many times we just don't know what to say to the person that is hurting, all right? And therefore, so where we come today to bring me to my discussion today, what I want to bring to your attention today is this thing that's called unrecognized grief. And that's when, okay, it's a simple, it might sound complicated, but I'm going to take a minute here to prepare you, okay? Because it's not really complicated. It's complicated. The definition is not complicated, but the whole process is complicated. First, we like definitions. We are good at definitions, right? We seek definitions. So what is unresolved grief, okay? It's simply because it is not acknowledged or considered worthy of our sadness. It's a grief. It's a loss, okay? It's a loss, and many times compound losses. That society, because we can't grieve it, we can't express it, we can't go through the motions of being healed and all because we can't acknowledge it. We aren't able to talk about it, all right? Why? Because, hey, they seem so minor, they seem so incidental that society doesn't allow us to consider it worthy of our sadness. And because society doesn't consider certain things in our lives, or certain things that are hurting us, worthy of our sadness, we will shut down as well. But now the other aspect of it is that many times we don't feel like it's worthy. We know we are hurting. We know there are things bothering us, okay? But we don't know the real reason. For example, because we are affected in so many ways, this unrecognized grief affects us in so many ways. Many times we're just trying to move on and trying to process what we're feeling. but not knowing the reason why we're feeling. Okay, so what are you saying? How do I get to know it? That's the reason for the discussion today, to help us that because of not being able to grieve, not being able to express our hurt, not being able to talk about these things, not being able to put it in the public, okay, because why? Let me repeat it. Why does it become unrecognized? Because society plays such a big role on us. Yeah. They'll say, hey, that's crazy. Why does that make you sad? Why is it that you're still crying over that? Why is it that, oh, you know, that's bothering you? And then for us, many times because we know the response, or we feel like we know what the response is going to be from somebody if we talk about it. And let me add to it, there are times that we can't talk about it. Even when we want to talk about it, we're too embarrassed to talk about it. There are things that we push down, we shove down, we try to hide deep within because we are embarrassed. We feel guilty, you know, for whatever might have happened. But that does not negate the fact that they are bothering us. And hear me well. Hear me. That's the whole reason today. I want to talk about this, okay? It does not negate the fact that it's bothering us. So you say, well, you know, and we try to move on and forget things, all right? So you say, how do I get to know that these things are bothering me? How do I know something is hidden? How do I know that, hey, I'm experiencing unrecognized grief? How do I realize that, hey, people around me are telling me not worthy of sadness, and I'm thinking it's crazy too because, hey, who would be sad over this? I'm sad. But who? How do I know? Well, look, let me tell you. Let me explain to you. These things manifest themselves. Yeah, we try to hide them. We try to push them down. We try to ignore them. We try to function. We try to just get involved with life and move on. But if we have not addressed these issues, they're just going to come back up later and bother us. And sometimes, you know, then comes another situation, and we push that one down. Another situation, and we push that down. So after a while, we have compounded situations that are just pressing on us and causing us sadness and causing us grief. So, hey, how do I know? How do I know? Well, look, let me tell you. These things, they manifest themselves. They could manifest themselves in us cognitively, in other words, in our thinking. In fact, we go into obsessive thinking, okay, and ability to stay and our and inability to stay focused or to concentrate. Yeah, there are times you notice that sometimes, hey, you're sitting and you're trying to do something and you think that you're doing it, or you're trying to listen and you think that you're listening, and all of a sudden you realize, where was I? What happened? I remember hearing this last, and now I'm hearing this over here. What happened to the time in between? Well, again, our minds, remember, cognitive, our thinking, all right? And also, when I said obsessive, we dwell on the same thing over and over and over, and that's what grief is, remember? Many times, just looking at that situation, thinking on it, denying that it happened, and all of those routine things that come along with grief, okay, when we just can't move on and we keep going through the cycle of feeling guilty or bargaining. I wish it had been me. I could have done that. I could have handled it. Why didn't I do this and that, okay? But the point is we become, get to a point that we're not able to concentrate or stay focused. And I guess I'm spending a little extra time with that one. Because I'm telling you, I've gone through this. You know, this is not alien to me. I can understand it really well, okay? Because I have experienced it. I would say I am experiencing it. And this is helping me as well as hopefully I'm helping you, all right? And that is, like, again, sitting and doing something, writing something. All of a sudden, you're gone somewhere else. You're thinking it somewhere else. So that's one way that it's manifested. You say, I thought I was losing my mind. I thought I was, you know, getting to a point that I'm going to, you know, going into dementia or whatever. Well, I can tell you that, hey, a number of people have felt that way, including me. And then finally realized, no, I'm concentrating on the wrong thing. I'm spending my time doing the wrong thing, watching the wrong thing over and over. And during this time, it's not strange that many people would be experiencing this because you're spending so much time listening to the negative. What did I say before? Didn't I say how one thing gets piled on another in our society? Isn't that what we've gone through? The last focus was on the COVID. Okay, how are we going to come out of it? Is there going to be a cure? And then there was the presidential election. And then there was, oh, my God, then the new election. Oh, my God. Just go on and on. Just go back. And you know you've been tied up trying to follow every bit of it. And that would throw us into a place of not being able to focus, all right, not being able to be attentive to what we need to do. And it starts playing in the way our memories work and how we are processing things. All right, I spent a lot of time on that, more than I expected to, but I think that's helping some people because, again, you know, you're getting to the point to worry about yourself, all right? And hopefully this broadcast is going to help you get up and do something to help yourself, all right? It also affects us physically, yeah? Physically, what? Headaches and excessive sleeping, or sometimes a lack of the ability to sleep, loss of appetite, pain, or other physical symptoms. Sometimes, and you're thinking it's something way out there, and it is something really hidden in that we're not attending to, something we're pressing down, okay? So emotionally, sometimes those outbursts of anger, those outbursts of the sadness, but outbursts of anger, and you can't understand why. Why am I angry about that? Nobody's done anything to me. Oh, my God, this is supposed to be happy times. This is supposed to be exciting times. I am happy. You have those bittersweet emotions, okay? Joy on one side and anger on the other side. Yes, yes, yes. It's real. You're not losing your mind. No, there's a reason for it usually, okay? And then there's anxiety. All of a sudden, after years of being able to do the same thing and traveling and addressing issues, handling issues, and all of a sudden, hey, you're thrown into a place of terrible anxiety. Yes, all of a sudden it comes up. Well, it's usually because of something that's hidden down deep. And then that depression. I'm not talking about clinical depression. No, I'm talking about what we would call, I would call, and I'm not the only one, that would be called situational depression. In other words, again, the situation that's all around us, those situations we're experiencing, they cause depression because what? Depression comes when we feel hopeless and helpless. We feel like, hey, I can't do anything about it. I'm caught here. And some of the things that's been going on around about us, that's exactly how we have felt. And some of us are still feeling that way. So there's a level of depression that comes, but it's situational, meaning that, hey, we can come out of it, all right? So, and then as I mentioned before, guilt and blame and emptiness and agitation and aggravation and despair. I'm talking about ways that this thing is manifested in us. When we thought we were fine, we thought we were moving on, we thought that we laid it aside, we thought that, hey, life goes on and we are going on with it. But this thing called unrecognized grief could be working within us, that could be causing us these different things, manifesting itself through these various ways. And then there are our behavior, crying and crying. One minute we're happy and next minute we're crying. You thought, hey, I woke up feeling, hey, light, and I think I'm on my way now. And in a few minutes, reading something or reflecting on something, okay, looking at a certain object, and we are crying and crying. And then we start avoiding others. Why? Because, hey, this is crazy. I don't want to be with anybody because I just start crying and can't explain why. I get angry and I can't explain why. So after a while, we just start withdrawing. Withdrawing from others and getting to the extent that we withdraw from a society altogether. And that is not good. So there's one thing complicating, one causing complication in another way because it's not good to completely isolate. Now, part of our health comes from maybe needing to spend some time in a ritual of addressing the loss, addressing whatever, okay? And sometimes we need to do that to ourselves, but it's first acknowledging that it is there, okay, and then dealing with it. But it's not the long spans of time, okay? So, and then spiritually, hey, I want, and you're going to see all these, you're going to see many of these, and maybe all of these as I go along, okay? Then spiritually, we begin to search for meaning, like what is the meaning of life? Why am I here? What's the purpose? And then ultimately, many times we just get mad at God. Yeah, we start blaming God for whatever didn't happen, whatever should have happened, whatever happened that wasn't planned, and why our plans didn't come to pass. We actually get mad at God, which is another unrecognized grief, because so often we are carrying that anger inside, mad at God. But this is another situation where, hey, I can't tell anybody I'm mad at God. Oh, I can't even say that out loud. If I say it out loud, he might strike me dead. And so you end up carrying this emotion, these emotions deep inside, and you really need to be able to say them and say them out loud. And that's the beginning of being able to move on, not worrying about what people come. It's not worrying about how you it may sound, it may not, and sound how foolish and how crazy you are feeling those things. No. Hey, we have to address them in order to move on. So I just gave you the fact that these things will show up because you said, you asked me, how do I know that I'm suffering from unrecognized grief, all right? And so I'm just showing you because all the time we don't recognize. That's why it's called unrecognized. In some places it's called everyday grief, every day. In other places, in another place, it was coined, a phrase was coined and established by a guy by the name of Kenneth Doker, D-O-K-A, if I have it spelled correct, all right, who was an American counseling member in 1989. So it's not new, and it was called disenfranchised grief, okay? So in other words, there are a number of titles that this thing is given to. I'm working with unrecognized, called emotional baggage. It could be called everyday grief, you know, from everyday losses, all right? And then, as I just said, it is a form of word that was coined years ago as disenfranchised grief, all right? Disenfranchised, I'll keep repeating it. It's that grief. It's the losses. It's emotions that associate with losses that have not been expressed, losses that are hidden, okay? Losses that are not acknowledged or considered worthy of our sadness. Let me say it again, because you're still out there thinking that it's big. Oh, this is such a complicated definition. And I'm saying, hey, the aspects of it are complicated, but the definition is not. And if we just look at the definition, then we'll begin to say, oh, all right, and we'll be ready to go on and try to work on what I've been saying for several weeks now. Awareness is number one. In order for us to go forth in healing of anything, we got to become aware of the situation, become aware, and then we come to acknowledge it, but we got to become aware. So my point here, how is it manifested? I'm talking about becoming aware. I'm angry for something I can't explain. I'm sad so many times for something I can't explain, all right? My thinking, I'm going way out there with my thinking. I find myself thinking or in one place, and before I know it, my mind is way over there, and I can't explain why, all right? On and on, as I've said before, the ways that it's manifested. So what? First of all, recognizing that we're doing these things, becoming aware of the fact that we're doing these things. Becoming aware, not just trying to push past it, not just trying to move on, but becoming aware of the things that we're doing, okay? Becoming aware, then now let's take a look at it. What did I say? First, awareness, and then secondly, acknowledge it. You know, I don't know why I'm crying so much. I'm acknowledging the fact that I do cry. I'm getting angry over situations that just don't seem to make any sense. Why would I be angry about that? And so on and so forth. Oh, that is so good. Hopefully you thought it was good, because I do. because that's the beginning of being able to get help in whatever the situation is, okay? Awareness and acknowledgement, right? So, once again, unrecognized grief, which has several names, what did I say? Several names, emotional baggage, everyday grief, okay? Everyday losses, everyday grief, disenchanted grief, okay? And it's simply called those things, it is simply called that because it is not acknowledged and it are considered worthy of our sadness. It is not acknowledged. It is not acknowledged, okay, or considered worthy of our sadness. That's the reason for it, okay? Now, look, this presents a problem. This presents another problem. Maybe not experienced in other types of grief, all right? Because in other types of grief, right, we you know, at least people come alongside of us for a while, or they expect you to be sad and over a physical loss, okay, and so forth, all right, of a person passing away or your house burning down or, you know, so on and so forth, okay? But the risk creating a narrative from the unprocessed feelings, and that's what we're talking about here now, and emotions, they may lead to low self-esteem, inability to connect with other people, which results in loss of community. In other words, loss of friendship, loss of people to talk to. You know, because after a while, if you keep avoiding people, they usually kind of separate from you as well, okay? It affects our job search, yeah, and we find ourselves being unable to project self-confidence. And if you're unable to project self-confidence because you're not sure, because you've gotten to the point to be so confused about, you know, your thinking and all of that is just gotten way out of hand, then how are you going to land a job? Or how are you going to continue to keep your job? All right? And then also we talk about the shattered dreams. Dreams shattered. And you're stuck in that place because it's like, I dare not hope anymore. I dare not love anymore. I dare not be in expectation of anything good anymore. All those things begin. That's the risk of this, risk of not becoming aware of what's going on, the reason for our sadness and all that's going on, the reason for our, okay, are we okay so far? Are you guys with me to this point? I pray that you are, because this is so important, I'm telling you. It is so important, all right? And I think many of us are experiencing such, okay? So, again, all right, again, here we are. So you say, help me to understand more about this, Dr. Wilder. All right, I'll do that, okay? First of all, let's look at a few places in Scripture. It's in the Scripture. Let's look at a few places, all right, as we talk about this unrecognized grief, as we talk about it. Dreams, you know, that deferred, hope deferred, that's making our hearts sad, okay, and deferred for a number of reasons. But we're looking at the other part where it says, but a longing fulfilled is the tree of life. And then we came along and asked the question, but what happens to the heart when what is hoped for, dreamed of, planned, expected just cannot come to pass? What happens then? All right? And that's what we're talking about. This is what happens that so many times we enter into a place of grieving. We enter into a place of as I just named, I just went through them, shattered dreams and all of those things, okay? And then, but what can we do about it? How do we recognize it more? What are some of those situations? Well, one many times is I remember when I first became a pastor, I tell you, my life was so wrapped up in helping people move on. And my life itself had been about that when people began to come to me, congregants began to come to me, and they were so sad over the loss of a pet, I tell you, I'm going to be honest with you, okay? I didn't understand it. That had not been in my upbringing. It had not been part of my understanding that was supposed to occupy, that wasn't strange that it would occupy a real space in your heart that the animal died and that you will be so hurt and devastated. So a lot of what I'm speaking to you about, I say all the time, is from my experiences. It's not always from a textbook or anything, but it comes from my personal experiences as well as experiences with clients and with my group members and everything. So I'll never forget that, and that's been years and years ago. But I'll never forget it. I stood puzzled. Why are they carrying on so? Why is it all of this is going on with the loss of that pet, you know? And so I'm telling, that would be an example, because they wouldn't come. People, you know, I think I did a pretty good job of, you know, putting on a different face, but inside I was puzzled, all right? People needing to express that. People needing to talk about it. People needing somebody to be with them while they cried and remember the nice things about this animal, what the animal did for their lives and everything, and to be able to really sit with them through their hurt, all right? But I'm not the only one that feels that way. So quite often, what would that mean? That would mean the owner of the pet ends up not being able many times to address the hurt, not being able to acknowledge it, not being able to talk about it openly. So many times they closed down because it wasn't recognized and because society on a whole during that time, I know somebody's saying to me, but no, Dr. Wilder, there's help. Yeah, you're right. It's help now, okay? And you might know how to direct somebody to get that help. But at that time, I wasn't the person, okay? I wasn't the person. And so if you had probably come to me, then you might have felt like, oh, I shouldn't be grieving this. There's no reason for my real sadness. I can't talk about this to anybody. But the fact of the matter is you were hurting. The person was hurting, and they did need to process it, okay? And that's what caused the rest of the thing that come along, that unrecognized grief. Why? Because society says, hey, there's no reason for you to be so sad. And you end up not having anybody around you that you can process it with, and you end up shutting down yourself because you're saying, I can't tell anybody. I can't tell anybody how I'm crying. I can't tell anybody that I'm hurting, okay? So we have examples in the Word of God. You're getting a good feeling for this? You got a good feeling? I'll repeat it once again. What is it? It's simply because it is not the grief, the hurt, the loss. It's not acknowledged. You're not admitting it. You're not talking about it or considered worthy of our sadness. Society tells us so many times, well, you know you shouldn't be sad about that. So much about direction from what society says rather than paying attention to what our body is saying, paying attention to what our hearts are saying. We need to pay attention to what's going on deep inside and address it instead of trying to dress things up to satisfy society, okay? And this is one of those issues, unrecognized grief, things that have happened, and people give you a deadline as to how long you should be sad. Oh, you shouldn't be sad. Come on. So some instances. We find Joseph. You know, I did a broadcast on Joseph a couple weeks ago. Remember, Joseph in Genesis 45, verses 1 through 8, but actually his life is all the way from, I think, chapter 35. But we found that when Joseph had been sold into slavery by his brothers as a teenager, okay, so and never managed to come back home again, all right? So, hey, that was a reason for grief. He had so many reasons throughout his life. So slavery, all right? And then the first place he landed was in an important person's house, and he was doing his job, okay? But this was far away from his own family and far away from his own homeland. And the Bible lets him know he was doing it well. God was with him, and he was doing it well. But let me ask you the question. Do you think that he didn't think about his homeland anymore? Do you think that he didn't think about his father? Do you think about he didn't think about the fact that how his brothers had done this to him? But who could he talk to about it? It was like in him, there was a grief, there was a loss. He had lost his homeland. He has lost his family unit. He has lost his relationship with his father. He has lost so much. But where was he to express it? How could he express it? So unrecognized, he wasn't able to get it out. And then the next situation, he was thrown into prison for a reason, for something he had not done, okay? And then he was kept there for a number of years. And then, yes, he came out, all right? But all the things he was doing, and I want you to look at this, this is what I'm saying. He was through life, but he had never addressed, he had never, as we know, anyway, the Bible doesn't let us know that it did, okay? He did. Had never processed the hurt and the disappointment and all that he had lost. He had lost so much, okay, by being sold into slavery. And though he was moving on with life, all right, what was on the inside, it was still bottled up on the inside. The hurt and the questions were on the inside. You say, how do you know that, Dr. Wilder? I know it from the scripture I'm giving you to read today. Genesis 45, verses 1 through 8. When years later that his brothers came and they didn't recognize him, but he recognized them. And the time came that he made himself known to them. And so the Bible says that, hey, that when he did, it says that he wept loud. When he had his brothers before him, he recognized them. And he closed himself off, put out all those people that he was now big shot over. The land that he was a big shot in, he put them away, put them out, okay? He hadn't been able to process what he felt before, so he put them out, and he was left with his brothers, and the Bible says he wept loud, so loud that they on the outside heard him. So what was that weeping about? It was now that hurt that he had been working has, you know, just pushed down in him. It hadn't gone away. That's what this tells you, because this is years and years later. But yet, it came out so forcefully, the weeping over them because they were there. And then pay attention to the next thing that identifies it. Secondly, what his question right away was, does my father live? Remember? That was a loss. He had lost. He felt he lost his relationship with his father, but yet he had to push it down and keep just surviving in this new land. But it was unrecognized. Who else could he talk to about it? Who could he share it with? We don't find any evidence that he did in the Bible, so we're assuming that he didn't and that he moved just like many of us do. We do. We go back to work, and, hey, every day we can't go into work standing over everybody talking about these things, right? So we just put them aside. Try to put them aside, but they are still gnawing, so to speak, down on the inside. They're working havoc on the inside because we're not recognizing. We're not admitting it. We're not talking about it. We're not processing it, okay? And then you read the rest of that. But right away we see that's what I call unrecognized grief, unrecognized that he had not acknowledged it and he had not processed it, okay? And then we look at Naomi in the book of Ruth. Remember how when she returned to her homeland after being away for so many years and having lost her husband, having lost her two sons, okay? And just the first part that we missed altogether in that whole dialogue is that they had gone to a foreign land. The scripture, if we look at the scripture, we find out that, hey, this woman must be well accepted in her homeland. She had to be popular there, okay? But yet the situation of famine and her husband taking her to a foreign land that was different than her own culture, different everything. So first of all, that was her first loss. And that was her first loss. She had to put aside her identity, so to speak, all right? And yet down there, things never got really good for her because down there, her husband died, her sons died, all right? But then the time came that she returned home. And so you're saying, Dr. Walker, how are you getting all of this out of scripture? I'm telling you, go read it. Read the book of Ruth, okay? The Bible says that when she came back to her homeland, the women saw her, and they began to go, is this Ruth? Is this Ruth? They were excited to see her, but Ruth wasn't excited. You know, she was carrying a hurt. She was carrying losses, unrecognized and not acknowledged, deep down on inside, okay? She hadn't grieved openly grieved the hurt, okay? How do I know? It was so profound that she herself said to them, Don't call me Naomi. That means pleasant. Call me Mara, which means bitter. And that's because the Almighty, meaning God, has dealt very bitterly with me. In other words, loss after loss after loss. And what did I say earlier? Part of the reason spiritually that we have a problem accepting and a problem healing is because we're mad at God and we won't say it. We won't say it. We won't tell people, I'm mad at God, all right? As a counselor, many times when I'm listening to people, whether they're in my groups or they're individuals, whoever, or even just everyday conversation, sometimes listening to people and perceiving that this is what's going on in their lives, that there's griefs and hurts that they have kind of pressed down and they haven't taken the time to process. You know, sometimes I'll hear them. They'll get to the point that they just can't finish expressing what they're angry about. And so I'll just come out and ask them, are you mad at God? And they just look at me, like stare at me, and says, well, I can't say that. I say, you can handle it. He's not. I say, why can't you say it? They say, he might strike me dead. That's not the God that I'm talking about here today. That's not the loving God that we serve. That's not our creator, our maker. He's not going to strike you dead. He needs you to say. The Bible even says, he said, you have not because you ask not. So he wants us to open our mouth and express. He wants us to open our mouth and say, okay? And so he's bigger than that. He's not going to strike you dead because you say you're mad at him. No. And if they manage to say it many times, you can see they have such a relief. Okay, I didn't say they were healed, but they have such a relief because that was complicating the whole process of healing that they couldn't just say, God, I'm mad at you. You did this, you allowed that. Many times they don't say allowed, they say you did, okay? And that's where I come along to try to help them because how can they accept help from a God that would do these horrible things to them? So I come along to help them to understand God didn't do it to you, honey. Society and all those things that entered into society did that. That wasn't God, okay? So anyway, that's another thing. But here Ruth, at this point, coming back home, coming back home, she at least got that out. She got it out. She says, call me bitter. But the point is that she was grieving, and she had not been able to really process all those losses. Yeah, she had not, okay? All right? And then this is another one that many people are suffering with and why they're hurting so badly. This example with David and Bathsheba. When that baby died, the baby that was conceived as a result of David committing adultery with Bathsheba and then going to the point of trying to have her husband, actually having her husband killed, and then marrying her. And this was that baby that was conceived in that situation. So now the baby comes forth and the baby dies, okay? So I can venture a guess, and I can say to you, okay, because it's done so much in our society right now that probably she never was able to process that hurt. You know, and even David just immediately got up. He cried, he fasted, he prayed in hopes that the baby was healed. But when the baby wasn't healed, he got up and immediately began to go forth in life. And the way he comforted himself was to say, hey, the baby's not coming back to me, so I got to prepare to go to where he is. And that's, again, what we do. Society tells you, get up. And get back to work. Get up and stop focusing on this. Get up and let's go forward, all right? And that's an example of what David did. But, hey, another reason why they probably could not process this hurt, because it was still the loss of a child. That child has, she still carried that child inside of her and then brought him forth into the world. It was a loss. That was a loss. Believe me. And it didn't go as easy as being able to put the child's body away and then just plain forget it. You might try, but it's not that easy. And so I can imagine there was this unprocessed grief that she wasn't able to talk to anybody because she would have had to go back and deal with the guilt that probably was associated with it, had to go back and deal with blame that was probably associated with it. Because now in this time, everything was coming up, blaming herself that, that I let this happen to me. Guilt that it did happen, and now my husband died and I got married. So many things needed to be processed. And in order to process them, as we talked about already, we got to acknowledge the hurt. We got to acknowledge it, that we are hurting. We got to first become aware that we're hurting and then acknowledge it. And then we begin to pull it apart and work with it. Decide, am I carrying something that I shouldn't be carrying? Am I dwelling on something that it's not my responsibility to dwell on? Whether it's true or feeling guilty, I did it or I didn't do it, what do I do with it? We got a God that will forgive us. We got a God that will cleanse us. We got a God that promises to comfort us. But if we don't get to the point to put it on the table, acknowledge it, pull it apart, look at it, and then be able to put it at the feet of Jesus, we're not going to be able to go forward. Woo. Oh, my God. Yes, I need to take a breath on that. I need to take a breath. And actually, I need you to be able to digest all that I'm saying. I know I say a lot, but that's the good part about being able to go back and pull up my broadcast, because you're going to have so much food in there. You're going to have so much information there. You have so much insight in my broadcast. That, hey, it'll last you for a long time, and you might need to listen to it over and over and over, because every time you listen to it, you're going to find another nugget, another something, and give you some enlightenment. And today is one of those topics that's such, because I know my listeners. I know many of you. You're carrying things. You're carrying them from divorces. You're carrying them from things that you did, and as much as I hate to say it, I got to say it, even those of abortions. Now, look, I'm not casting any stones here, but I know, you know, that was an individual decision, and I shouldn't, somewhat individual, okay? Maybe the person that was involved with you coerced you to do it, but either way, the point is you did it, and then you're thinking that because you got off that table and you went on with life, that was the end of it. But actually what happens is you come back and you just try to suppress all those experiences you went through, okay? And many of you are experiencing so many parts of what I said before. So many things are being manifested and you're not understanding why. Why are you having dreams? Why are you having nightmares? Why are you afraid to be alone? Why? Why? So many things and you're not being able to address it. It's because you have not processed it and you have not acknowledged this grief, acknowledge this hurt, acknowledge this. Now, let me say it again. God's not holding it over. God will forgive you. God's not holding it over you. And just because you don't say it and don't talk about it doesn't mean it's going away. You're the one that's hurting. And God is still wanting you to just come and bring it to him. Come. Hey, repent, all right? Come and say, I'm sorry. Come. Acknowledge the truth about it. All right? And that goes across the board, not just say abortion, but that's one big one. How can you talk about it? That's just like David and Bathsheba. How are they going to say, oh, well, you know, this hurts me really bad because, you know, David had my husband killed and then we got married and this baby was conceived beginning. How are you going to be able to say that? You feel that you can't tell anybody that. You can't tell them the details. You can't tell them what part's hurting you, all right? So therefore, it ends up manifesting in outbursts of anger, manifesting in you crying, manifesting in you walking the floor at night, not being able to sleep, okay, or trying to sleep the day away, because if you open your eyes, you're going to start thinking again. Why? This broadcast today, this unrecognized grief, is sadness. You're feeling it. You're hurting. Your body is telling you that something is wrong. Something is out of place. It's telling you. So now what do we do? Am I minutes to go? What am I to do about it? Start talking to somebody. Okay? Which I just said, talk to the Lord about it, okay? And don't allow anybody to put a timeline on your grief. Don't let anybody tell you that you can't talk about this, or you should be over this. Don't talk, even if it happened years ago. It's still inside that you have not processed the fullness of it, okay? And then don't get caught in that cycle of thinking that it got to follow a particular process. Grieving is a journey. It's a journey. It doesn't happen. It doesn't end overnight. It's a journey. You might get better and not be as angry, okay, as much or whatever. But the point is, hey, and go on and have some joy, which is what the whole purpose of grieving is about, putting this grief out there, acknowledging it, talking about it, putting it in the right perspective of whatever happened. It's about allowing some joy to come into your life again, some real joy. Because right now, while you're carrying all this stuff on the inside, I've already talked about it, it's affecting you in so many ways. My time is running out, so I can't repeat all that again, all right? Going through the grief, going through this journey, this process, the process of healing, okay, it's a journey. It's a journey, all right? And it's going to go. You're going to be happy. You're going to be sad, okay? But each time it gets better and better, okay? And I want to say to you, each individual must process their loss in their own unique way. I will repeat that part. First awareness, okay? I am angry, okay? Sad. I'm angry, okay? And then the other way is what? Group. Therapist. Yeah, you might need to go to a therapist, but since I'm saying this is situational, this referring to is usually situational. Situational is not. It's situational, all right? That many times if we just join grief groups, yeah, there are groups out there called just for grief, just for you being able to come together and talk about your loss. To talk about it with other people that are experiencing very much the same thing. They're not going to judge you. They're not going to put you down. They're going to have compassion, okay? Come on, they're going to listen. They're going to listen. They're going to listen. So look up one of those groups. Join them. You might find them at your church. You might find them in the library. You're going to find them around. There's help to get past this, okay? And then, of course, if you have that kind of friend that can do it, that's great. But not always do we have them, okay? Give yourself permission to grieve. Yeah, denial does not help. It harms, and it causes you to begin to isolate. And I can't talk about that enough. You don't want to isolate. If you've already begun to isolate, stand to yourself, avoiding people, even I'm talking about today. Come on, come out. Come out, come out. There's hope, there's help, there's joy to come in the midst of, okay? And many feel the need to appear strong, to appear competent. So this word goes out to ministers as well, who are trying to do so much for everybody, but they're hurting, but they're feeling they can't express it, all right? So, hey, come on, let somebody know. And then acknowledge your feelings and let God comfort you. From Matthew 5, he promised to comfort those that mourn. So there's help. Come on, there's help. There's help, and you can begin to heal yourself. Self-healing, you can begin. So as I talk today about unresolved grief, hopefully I've made it clear, unresolved grief is not something that's very often. It's just out there for you to know that, hey, it's worthy of your sadness and worthy of expressing. This has been Dr. Annie B. Wilder on the Rock the Annie B. Wilder Show saying, hey, thank you for joining me, and I pray that I'll see you again on my board next time. In the meantime, please be blessed and reach out to me, Dr. Annie B. Wilder at gmail.com. Until then, blessings, blessings, blessings.